Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And who do we talk to on St. Patrick's Day? Well, obviously, Leslie Eastman, our good friend, great friend of our show and contributor to Legal Insurrection. Leslie, happy St. Patrick's Day. I've got a green stapler and I've got a green shirt that doesn't look too green, but it is green. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Leslie.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and the Canto Talk audience. May the luck of the Irish be with us all, and hopefully maybe even an extra helping this year, because I think we're going to need it.
I think we're going to need it. In fact, we'll be talking about that, the inflation and some of that in a bit. But I want to begin. You wrote a great post today at Legal Insurrection. And it kind of ties into one that I wrote, Leslie. They're not exactly the same idea, but they're sort of connecting. I wrote at the American Thinker today that I feel that what's happening in the country now, not only here, but in Europe, and you're hearing it in Canada too, where everybody's saying, hey, we cannot depend on outsiders. We've got to develop our own energy. You're certainly hearing that in Canada. And I think that the consequence of this is that people have seen with their own eyes the insanity of cutting back on oil production and, you know, the price of everything and the price of gasoline. And I think the green movement, as they call themselves, has really, I think we just lost you for a second, but you're back, Leslie. I think you're back now. You're back. But I will say that the green movement has really shot itself in the foot. I don't know how they recover politically from this. And, of course, then as I'm pointing that out, I see your fabulous article about House Progressive Democrats want Biden to declare a climate emergency, Leslie. And how do they want to do that? And I'm going to read. This is great. They want to ban oil drilling on federal lands and end fuel subsidies. You know, Leslie, this would be called crazy during normal times. It's insane right now, Leslie.
I think there's like just an amalgamation of things coming together that have given the progressives in the House impetus to go forward with this very radical agenda. And the first component is we are wrapping up the coronavirus pandemic. And when you take a look at the response to the coronavirus pandemic, and try and make decisions based on what's best for the country, you would have not made nearly any of the decisions that were made by our politicians and our bureaucrats. That's just to start with. But if you're trying to hold on to power that is about to slip through your fingers because it appears that November is going to be an historic change in parties, then you're going to want to do things to enhance your power profile. And I went through the list that was developed during the coronavirus pandemic. First thing was go ahead and declare a national emergency. Oh, it's so deadly and so dangerous. We don't have time to wait for the real studies. Go ahead and do that. Then, you know, put forward your policies, decry anybody who goes against actual data as spreading misinformation. Go ahead and fund studies that are supportive of your position. Make sure that you've got the media on your side, parroting all your talking points and declaring that anybody who is going against your viewpoint is spreading are conspiracy theorists. And then finally, make sure you have a good financial connection to the industries that are being supported by your policy. We have just lived through this entire guidebook through coronavirus. And what is concerning is that most people don't know meteorology, climatology, geologic history to understand that there is no climate crisis. There may be local issues with pollution, granted. And yes, everybody would like the cleanest, healthiest possible Earth on the planet, but we cannot declare a global crisis and develop actions that will impact. We try to do this. There are going to be countries such as Russia, such as China, such as India, who will go ahead and make a different set of decisions that best suits them, irregardless of whatever we say our quote-unquote science is thinking. So many problems with this pathway, but if they're interested in grabbing power, I think this is the last move they have before November to try and consolidate whatever power they think they have.
Absolutely, and as I've said before, I'm one of those who's willing to listen to ideas about alternatives to energy and so on. For example, down in Brazil, this is a bit off topic, but down in Brazil, they actually, as I understand, a good number of their cars are actually run on alcohol from sugarcane. I'm not against that. I'm not against trying something like that, but I am against the insanity of shutting down production and giving Putin a geopolitical power that he can use against Europe as he is and against the rest of the world. And, you know, I think what comes to focus, Leslie, is that I think President Trump understood something about oil. Number one, it has a huge impact on the family budget. And number two, it is a geopolitical weapon. And my goodness, is he a prophet or what? I mean, look at what's happened with the inflation. Look at what's happened with the price of gasoline. And look at what's happening with Russia. So when I see an article like this, like what you wrote, of having these Democrats in the House calling for a moratorium on drilling, these people are just plain crazy. There's no other description for them. And I go back to my earlier point. I think the good people, the sincere people in the green movement, they need to get rid of these clowns because they're not helping them make their case, Leslie.
No, and I think it's also very naive. Oil doesn't just fill your car. It's used for all the plastic products that we require in our life. And if you take a look, many, many plastics and life, quality of life, as well as, you know, fuel and a number of other types of applications that give us a high quality of life, healthy, comfortable. And so, well, I'm a very much a believer in all of the above when it comes to energy, and certainly different energy sources can be evaluated for different needs in different locations, such as Brazil, the sugar cane, beefing up our nuclear industry. I think that's all great stuff. I am not a handmaiden of big oil. I like to see big oil do their work in the cleanest way possible, but they are not villains here. They are supplying a product and trying to get that to market in a reasonable cost. And we have pipelines on tap. We are cutting our own throat for no good reason. And one of the very frustrating things to me as somebody with a geologic history background is that we have had much higher levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere before. And carbon dioxide is not an evil gas. You know, it is essential for plant life. We could do with more carbon dioxide to feed the plants and have more fruits and vegetables. And that leads me to one of the concerns we'll be talking about soon, is that, food shortages are not, you know, impossible with the situations that are arising. And you know, I was just reading something last night, and I got reminded, first comes pestilence, then comes war, then comes famine, then comes death, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And we're apparently, we've knocked out one. Two looks like it's looming. So, you know, we really need better leadership making decisions that are in the interest of the American people as opposed to their colleagues in the House and Senate, the media, as well as the global community.
Right. No, I think you're right about that. And one thing I wanted to mention is one of the consequences of Ukraine, we'll talk about Ukraine as well, and then we'll talk about inflation. But one of the consequences of Ukraine is that Ukraine is a big supplier of wheat. And they're already talking about food shortages because of that. And, you know, we have a lot of problems in the world. We don't need more hungry people because, as you say, that points to war. But all of these things, you know, are happening because of bad decisions, you're right, that were made over the last 14 months that did not have to happen. We didn't have to cut down our production. We were producing lots of oil. It was being done in a clean way. You mentioned your background in geophysical. Is that, did I say that correct?
Geologic history, geology in general. I've got degrees in chemistry, biochemistry, and geology.
Yeah,
so,
you're
much
smarter than me, Leslie.
No. I just pull them out as I need them, and I have a lot of experience working with tech, science geeks and computer geeks at my work. So
right.
I get acquainted with some of that, but really my strong suit is are the physical sciences.
Okay. Well, now the reason I wanted to make, aside from the fact that you're very smart, we know that, but the point I wanted to make is that some of us are old enough to remember what LA, Los Angeles, used to look like in the 70s with the pollution. I mean, if you flew, I had an experience one time in 1981. I was flying from San Francisco to San Diego. It was a business trip. And when we were flying over LA, the pilot said, Los Angeles to the left. And the city was, you could barely see it. It was so much pollution. It actually reminded me of Mexico City, which had the same problem. You go to LA today, that's not the problem. Why is that? Because we've been able to clean up the atmosphere, clean up our automobiles, clean up the way we extract oil. So, you know, we can do this. We can do this, but what
we absolutely needed regulations. There were sensible regulations that started. The trouble is with bureaucrats is once they have power, they tend to want to not leave it, even though the problem's solved, and then they tend to want to have more power.
Right.
So the only way you start doing that is when you start micromanaging what people do, how people behave, and then there's the diminishing returns you get from taking that approach, and we're experiencing those diminishing returns right before our eyes.
That's right, but even the Paris Climate Change Accords, you know, we've met the guidelines, even though we were not in it. And that's because people tend to forget that whether you belong to the Paris Climate Change Accords or not, voters, the people who vote, want to have clean cities. They want to have clean air. So they're going to demand from their politicians policies that keep our cities and our air clean. And obviously, you know, you don't see that. Another bit of history that I wanted to point out, you know, when the collapse of the Soviet Union happened, in 1991, we actually had an opportunity to see what was behind that curtain. And what we saw was a bunch of polluted cities. Polluted cities like crazy, because they didn't have, you know, voters didn't have the power to demand from their leaders, you know, regulations and so on to keep their cities clean. We have that. And I trust these people like you and all of the other experts who want to keep our air clean, but I do not trust people who want to shut down production for the sake of some green planet or green climate change or whatever. And we're seeing the consequences of that, Leslie. And look at the price of gasoline. You know, we're paying about $4 here. I think it's a little bit higher where you are, Leslie.
It's around $6.50 a gallon here, and in the Los Angeles area, it's just over $7 a gallon.
Crazy.
What really is irksome is that that the gas has been going up for quite some time, and the current administration wants to insist it's Putin. Well, if we had not shut down pipelines, if we had not penalized our gas and oil industry, if we had made a better decisions with Saudi Arabia, you know, there are so many different factors that go into the price of oil. We've allowed more exploration. We allowed, you know, land be used that have been set aside. There's so many different aspects. No, Putin did not do this. This is self-induced. And no matter what the PR is and the spin is, you know, the more they try and present it as a Putin problem, the more they're going to flail. Own it, solve it, and pray, you know.
Right.
But it's not, they can't. I think we thought it was coronavirus too. They can't admit they're wrong. They won't admit they're wrong. They won't change the direction of what they're doing because they can't admit they're wrong.
Right.
And rolled right out to coronavirus, rolling right through it now.
And the article that you wrote today proves your point. I mean, you would think the last thing in the world anybody would be calling for today would be less energy production. It would be, you know, any rational person would be calling for the other. Now, all of this, of course, and you as you know, the lady of the house, as they say, you know what inflation is doing because, you know, you're going to the store and buying for your family. And, you know, I know here every time that my wife goes to the store, she comes back and she's showing me how this went up and that went up. So this gasoline is not just having an impact on the gasoline itself. It's having an impact on every aspect of our lives because everything is transported by oil or some kind of a fossil fuel. I mean, we may have some electric trucks, but you know how they have to be charged up, and they're usually charged up.
Well, beyond that, farming equipment uses oil. There, you know, it is the grease that fuels our civilization. And
exactly.
There's no getting around it. So, and but that's part of it. Part of it is also the monetary policy that has been followed with coronavirus that unleashed billions of dollars into the economy unfettered. And so you've got a couple of factors, shorter supplies, this money floating around, and it's crashing together. If they'd own it and try and solve it and be candid, have a game plan, enact it. But what we have are politicians who are treating us like teenagers on social media instead of voting mature adults. So we get treated to TikTokers and their interpretation of the news. Blame Putin, blame Russia.
Well, and I can tell you a personal story that the gasoline, I put gasoline in my car the week before Putin went in, and it was like 3:30 or something. So, I mean, it had gone from $2.10 to $3.30 before Putin went in. So, I mean, to blame Putin, it's not really working. The honest truth is that this is not working. I don't care how many videos they make with crazy teenagers. It's not working because people are too smart. They know what's going on. And, you know, for the last year, we've all been paying more for gasoline. It's not like it just happened last week. But that's, you know, that's what I keep going back to your point that, or the article that you wrote. I mean, if you're going to say in this context right now where you have an energy problem, if you're going to say, oh, the solution is to stop drilling. Okay, what are we going to replace this energy with? Can you please show me what I'm going to put in my car? The only thing I can put in my car is gasoline. I don't have anything else that I can put in my car. So how am I going to fix my problem? The trucks that are, you know, bringing us tomatoes.
The farming equipment can't go electric. The big diesel haulers, they can't go electric. There are so many vehicles that is just not feasible. And besides that, if you go electric, what's going to power your electricity?
That's right.
Coal oil plants, fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And then as an extra bonus, we have our those batteries require heavy metals, rare earth metals. Where do you think we're going to get the rare earth metals? China? You think China's going to be shipping us a lot more? They've got their own set of problems. As I recall in another post, is that they're back on lockdown. So we're anticipating even more supply chain issues as they do the next lockdown. And if you follow the news, and this is kind of a heads up on a post I'm going to be doing tomorrow, they're shooting out pictures of dead bodies rolling out of Hong Kong. Because what I think they're trying to do is panic the West again so we go back on lockdown. And I can honestly tell you, you want to see a real insurrection? I'll be leading that if we go and try and do another Fauci-inspired lockdown in this country. I'll be right at the top of the Capitol because that will not fly. And I don't care what kind of pictures are coming out of Hong Kong. No, we're not going to live through lockdown part two.
No, you're right about that. But maybe we'll find Dr. Fauci now. Have you found him? Has anybody seen him?
Yes, he's back again. Apparently there's some new variant they're trying to scare everybody about, so we have to go get booster number four. So he was out making the rounds today on the case because, you know, he's got connections, he's got stock, he needs that booster. You need to boost the kids, boost everybody, profit, profit, profit. So
we're going to have so many boosters, we'll have to put numbers on them, like you're saying, booster number four, booster number five. I mean, it does get a little bit crazy after a while. One more thing I wanted to say about the inflation, then I want to talk about Ukraine. In fact, there's a lot more inflation coming, and not only is there more inflation, this doesn't give me any pleasure because this is going to affect me as well as everybody else, but there's more inflation coming, and because of these very recent price increases in gasoline, so that'll probably be reflected more in May and June, and all of the economists that I follow are now talking about that terrible recession word. So, I mean, this is going to be a difficult year. And I don't say that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, if you oppose the administration, then you're happy for a recession. No, a recession is never good for anybody. I have to live in this economy like everybody else. But I do think we need to make better choices in November, like you were saying before. This time is flying with you, Leslie. You must be a very good guest, but the time is flying.
I know. It doesn't seem I've been talking to you but 5 minutes.
I know, but it's actually 22, if you can believe that. Let me talk about Ukraine. I'm sure you've been following the news, and I personally do not support a no-fly zone. I don't want to put American pilots and Russian pilots face-to-face over Ukraine. I don't want to do that. But I have no problem with giving them whatever they need or whatever they ask for. So I'm kind of in that situation where, no, I don't want American pilots, but if they want planes, give it to them. That's kind of where I am. Where are you, Leslie?
I'm going to say that this is kind of beyond my pay grade. I have difficulty trying to assess the best way forward. I will say that I personally do have skin in the game now in the form of my son who's at the Air Force Academy. So if this situation does not resolve itself and things escalate, I could see my son serving in a way I had not anticipated when he got launched a couple years ago, which is concerning to me. It's a worry I didn't even think I would have. And I think at this point, we have too many problems in this country to really, we've got our own border. We have billions we should have sent to our own border. We have fentanyl problem going out of control, or at West Point cadets, six of them overdosed on fentanyl-laced cocaine, which was a major event and indicative of what's going on across the country. We have young adults dying at enormously escalated rates, COVID, drugs. The list could go on. So while I And that then I also do not forget that the Ukrainians, especially Zelensky, with very little help to President Donald Trump, when President Donald Trump was dealing with his issues and what was being said in Ukraine. So I'm not all that impressed by the government of Ukraine. And additionally, I'm not insensitive to the fact that President Vladimir Putin may have a bunch of different issues, but seeing that he doesn't want NATO arming missiles on the belly of Russia, you know, some sort of ground between NATO countries and Russia, Ukraine being one of them, seems like reasonable on Russia's. And, you know, looking at the situation and seeing how the, you know, war hawks are trying to manipulate the American people, see, we did this dance before. I remember Iraq, and I remember weapons of mass destruction, and I remember, yeah, we'll go in and resolve this problem, and we'll bring our democracy. And how did that turn out for us? Not too well. Afghanistan, the same thing. You know, we were supposed to go in there, you know, get Osama bin Laden, you know, encourage the Afghanis to be democratic in process, open up the country, make it more civilized. How did it turn out for us? So I must admit, entangling ourselves in Ukraine has very little appeal to me.
Right.
I want the Ukrainians to have their own country. I think an invasion by Russia was stupid and senseless on Putin's part. But maybe supply Ukrainians with some defense. You know, seeing their neighbors can care of them. But Trump warned everybody that they had to step up to the plate for their own self-defense. And I will point out that Germany seems to be taking a hint and changing its approach to energy, changing its approach to defense. So maybe there's lessons to be learned here. All I can do is pray for peace. I hope this situation resolves itself before too many more people die in Ukraine and before the world starts reeling from the food shortages, because Ukraine, Russia, where this is being fought, is a significant mm-hmm. breadbasket for the entire right. world.
Absolutely. And that's the thing we got to be concerned about. You know, we've already got other problems and we don't need more food shortages. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions as we're coming down to the very end. What do you make of Vice President Kamala Harris? It seems like whenever she goes public, whenever she, you know, has to give a speech, you know, she's terrible. I mean, there doesn't seem to be, I don't know whether she's poorly prepared or whether that's just the way she is, but she's not making a very good impression, Leslie.
She's, as somebody pointed out, and this is a great line, she is everything they said Sarah Palin would be. Everything
right.
that Sarah Palin would be.
Right.
But that being said, you know, she opted to be there. Clearly, there is no way to describe her other than probably the worst vice president we ever had. Not qualified to be there. She simply checked boxes. There was a political backroom deal. And maybe the Democrats in power who made these decisions didn't expect her to be so bad, but she is. Maybe Biden thought it would be okay because the worse she was, less inspired they might be to 25th Amendment him. So there's a so much
yeah,
going on.
Kamala Harris is the best insurance policy against the 25th Amendment ever made.
Yeah.
Because you're right. People, you know, people look at Biden and how terrible he looks. And I don't have pleasure saying that because he is the president. But when you see him, I mean, just looking the way he does, but then you look at the other side and you say, my gosh, she's the heartbeat away. You don't feel very comfortable given the seriousness of our problems. Leslie, we're down to the end here, but I do want to give you an opportunity to talk about legal insurrection and some of the stuff that you're working on. So take about a minute and tell us about what you're working on and what articles we may be seeing soon.
So, yes, Legal Insurrection, the chief editor is Professor William Jacobson of Cornell. He's leading the charge at criticalrace.org, you know, making us aware of critical race theory. And tomorrow on tap, I do actually have an article published about a physics education paper that was focused on whiteness. And one of the aspects it focused on was how white boards promote white culture. And, you know, as I distilled down the paper, which was the most inane science-based paper I have ever read, it was shockingly bad. Come to discover it's a vanity publication. You paid to have this entity publish your work, and that one of the two authors is an equity consultant. So here is how it plays out. You say that there's a problem with equity in physics being the last bastion of against wokeness. You can't really make a woke math in physics, very hard to do, but trying to do it. So you use whiteboards and white fact that, you know, whites tend to major in physics because, you know, use your statistics, make it all about white and racism and that. And then say there's a problem here, so my equity company is going to come in and solve it for the big paycheck. And there's an enormous amount of money that was thrown at the grant for this particular study, too. It is a testament to exactly what critical race theory is about. And If you're interested in learning more about this to fight it, Legal Insurrection is on the front lines of this particular battle.
That's exactly right. No, you're exactly right, because that's one of my favorite parts about reading Legal Insurrection. There's also, we don't have time to get into it now, but there's also a great article today about Hunter Biden and the story in the New York Times. It turns out that, you know, that story a couple of years ago wasn't so untrue after all, you know, that there's something there. So there's a great post, I think it was Dr. Jacobs, no, Stacey Matthews, who wrote that one. So we would recommend to everybody to check out that one. Leslie, it's always an honor. It's always a great pleasure to have you. We're a little bit more limited here, but we get to a lot of information nevertheless. But my best to you on St. Patrick's Day. I hope you had a very green one, and I hope we get to do this again. It's always a lot of fun talking to Leslie Eastman, the contributor to Legal Insurrection. And Blake's mom.
Blake's mom. That's all right. Thanks. Good night,
thank you,
Sylvia.
So much, Leslie. Good night, everybody. And this is Sylvia O'Connor.